A few weeks ago, we heard about superstar firms. Now, some new research promises to tell us who the superstar economists are. And it might not be who you think. Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of conversations with the world's leading economists. My name is Tim Phillips. Open any scientific journal today and it's rare to find a piece of research with only one author. But this collaboration between researchers has benefits that we don't take into account when we fund them or rank them. A new CEPR discussion paper called Superstar Economists, Co-authorship Networks and Research Output attempts to create a new ranking of these economists and the departments they work in, which accounts for these spillover effects. Joining us today is Michael Koenig, one of the authors, and who, as an economist who has recently ranked his colleagues, presumably has a lot less friends than he did a couple of months ago. Michael, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello, Tim.
Now, we know that expensive research in fields like particle physics is very collaborative these days, but is the same thing true for economists?
That's a very good question. So actually, collaborations between researchers and economics have become significantly more important in recent decades. While 20 years ago, multi-author papers accounted for half of all articles published in economics, this number increased to over three quarters in recent years. There have been greater gains from specialization and the division of labor. As cumulative knowledge in the science of economics grows over time, the discipline becomes increasingly complex. In order to maintain a given level of quality of published work, or to make it even possible, it may be necessary to combine the skills of two or more co-authors. For example, an economist working for a government statistical agency might combine with a macroeconomist and an econometrician in academia to write a qualitative paper on productivity growth that none could have written on their own. Another argument is for falling communication costs. New information and communication technologies can improve the ease with which people can work together. There have been greater pressures to publish as well. So as the pressure to publish has intensified, competition for journal space, particularly in the leading journals, has become more keen. Journals experienced increased submissions and have increased their standard for acceptance. Another literature argues that there is an increasing uncertainty in the editorial review process. The editorial review process contains a random element that many would agree is large. As research output has increased, editors and reviewers have experienced increasing workloads because more articles must be screened and because more accepted papers must be received editorial attention. A natural response on the part of risk-averse individuals is to diversify against this risk by co-authoring papers. One can more accurately achieve some expected rate of acceptance, even if the value of co-authored papers is discounted exactly by the number of authors, and if there are no synergistic or quality effects in co-authoring, there would still be incentives to collaborate. There has also been empirical evidence that not only the number of collaborations, but also the scope of collaborations, that is the variety of different subdisciplines of the involved co-authors in economics, is larger than in other disciplines. Comparing, for example, the number of academic disciplines and subdisciplines listed on Wikipedia, we find about 50 in economics and only half that number in physics. On the other hand, economists are less constrained by their institutional boundaries. Connections between different research domains significantly increase a paper's impact in social sciences. Multi-university research teams tend to produce the highest impact papers. The growth in multi-institution collaboration was greatest in the social sciences than science and engineering.
But if most of the important research these days is done by teams in collaboration, what do you mean by a superstar economist?
So superstar economists are not only highly skilled and productive researchers, but they're also very good at collaborating with other researchers and teams. In other words, they're good networkers and thus hold a central position in the collaboration network. We find that superstars tend to have a higher breadth of citing papers across fields. Working on a wide range of topics may start new research projects. Our findings are consistent with previous studies that show that a lower degree of specialization has a positive impact on academic productivity. These highly productive authors produce crucial inputs to research projects and cannot easily be substituted in the matching process with their co-authors in the network. Thus, their removal from the network would have a strong effect on total research output, and this is how we identify superstars in our paper.
Today, we tend to rank authors. We enjoy ranking authors and their institutions, and we tend to do this by how many papers they publish or how many times their work is cited. Your approach to finding superstars has to take into account the benefits of collaboration as well. So how do you do this? What data do you use?
So that's, again, a good question. So in our paper, we develop a new model that allows us to rank researchers and evaluate research funding schemes by taking spillovers in the co-author network into account. Crucially, in this model, spillovers manifest themselves through complementarities in the research efforts among collaborating researchers. We then estimate this model using data for the network of scientific co-authorship among economists registered in REPEC. The unobserved research effort levels are determined by the Nash equilibrium predictions of our model, while the self-selection of researchers into different projects is determined by a matching process that takes into account both the researchers and the project's characteristics. We then propose a new ranking measure for economists in their departments. Our ranking quantifies the endogenous decline in total research outputs due to the removal of an economist from the co-authorship network, and this allows us to determine key players or superstar economists.
Now, what everyone's dying to find out listening to this, Michael, is who came top?
According to our analysis and study, the key author turns out to be Robert Barrow from Harvard University.
Congratulations, yes. Robert, yes.
So our results suggest that without this author, total output would be significantly lower. For example, using traditional citation-based impact factors, the RIPAC project ranked him as the fifth most influential economist in the world. Our results indicate that he would be ranked even higher when we take the spillovers he generates on other researchers in the network into account.
As you go down this ranking, how different is yours when you factor in the benefits of collaboration to the standard rankings of economists that we all know?
So we do observe that highly ranked authors tend to be involved in a larger number of papers or projects. They receive a larger number of citations and also have a higher citation-based impact factor. There exist also ranking measures that are only based on the network position of the authors. For example, authors with a higher betweenness centrality have the potential to disconnect the network if they're removed. Moreover, the higher the closeness centrality of an author is, the closer she is to all other authors in the network by following the links in the network. We find, however, that these purely network-based measures are only weakly correlated with our ranking. Importantly, none of the indicators that I just mentioned yield the same ranking that we obtain based on our model and the data, as they're either derived from citation counts only or they depend on network position only, while our ranking integrates both. Other rankings are typically not derived from economic microfoundations and do not take into account spillover or synergy effects that are generated in scientific knowledge production networks.
Now, you know that a lot of economists have downloaded your paper and they're reading it carefully, looking at it because they're hoping to see their own name. So have you had any of them calling you up to say, you got it wrong, I should be on that list, I should be higher up?
That's a good question, but that has not happened so far. I guess it's clear that we let the data speak and there is no way in which we can influence these rankings. We have done, of course, our best to collect data that provides an as complete as possible picture of co-authorships in economic sciences, but no data set is perfect, of course.
Now, there is a serious aspect to this, isn't there, Michael, in that research has an important social benefit and it needs to be funded, and the resources to fund this research are limited. We can't fund everything that we want to. So does your work imply that the existing funding could be targeted more efficiently?
So that's precisely what we try to suggest in our work. After identifying superstars, we attempt to design a hypothetical research funding program that incorporates spillovers between collaborating researchers. This funding program targets the authors who can become superstars by providing them with additional incentives through a merit-based funding scheme. In general, the discovery of a new knowledge often benefits many individuals, not just the one that innovated. When a firm or a researcher invests in making innovation, the private benefits are only a portion of the overall social benefits. The social benefits of an innovation take into account the value of all the positive externalities, as well as the private benefits received by the researcher that developed the innovation. The problem then is the social benefits can be much larger than the private benefits, and this may lead to an underinvestment into research. In this case, the government can correct this underinvestment, for example, by introducing research funds to create additional incentives for individuals to do research. We can use the network structure to capture the presence of such externalities, and this information can be used to design efficient government funding policies. Current funding schemes do not take into account externalities from network spillover effects. A comparison of our optimal funding policy with the research funding of the economics program of the National Science Foundation indicates that there are significant differences. In particular, our optimal funding policy is significantly positively correlated with the number of co-authors, that is the degree of an author in the co-authorship network. The NSF awards turn out to be uncorrelated with the degree, and they are positively but not significantly correlated with the optimal funding policy proposed in our study. This highlights the importance of the co-authorship network in determining an optimal funding policy, in contrast to existing research funding programs such as the one by the NSF.
Now, your research so far focuses on your colleagues in economics departments, but I assume that this could be applied to any field of scientific research and some fields where research is extremely expensive.
That is perfectly right. It could even be studied in completely different environments. For example, to study collaborations between inventors and patents, to look at research and development collaborations or joint ventures between high-tech firms, or to study collaborations between contributors to open-source software projects.
Thanks very much, Michael. Where do you come on the list, by the way?
I actually have not checked where I show up in
you
the ranking.
You haven't looked yourself up, I don't believe.
Yeah, it's
you.
True, but certainly not at the top. Mm. I think these ranks are reserved for the most accomplished senior top economists. And while we're all trying to make a valuable contribution to discipline, not everybody can be a superstar.
Well, we'll be looking out for your name on the list as time goes on, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Now, if you haven't checked whether you're on the list yet, what are you waiting for? The paper's out and it's called Superstar Economists, Co-authorship Networks and Research Output. And as you might guess, of course, it's a collaboration. In this case, between Michael, Qisheng Xie, Zhaodong Liu and Christian Zimmermann. It is CEPR discussion paper 13239, if you prefer to look it up that way. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. There are new episodes every Friday from your podcast provider, or look up the archive at voxeu.org/vox-talks.